blessed, and thankful. A gentleman who is now known as Buddha said something years ago that I appreciate. Let us rise up and be thankful. For if we didn't learn a lot today, at least we learned a little. And if we didn't learn a little, at least we didn't get sick. And if we got sick, at least we didn't die. So, let us all be thankful. So can you just smile at someone next to you and say, I get this, I understand that, I am therefore thankful. Obviously, Buddha is not my only reference point for this message.
Thank you.
Moving right along. But there is someone else by the name of Stephen, who I'm even more appreciative of what he has done in ministry in trying to address thankfulness. When I was putting this particular message together, I came across a list of things, reasons to give joyful thanks to God that he had written out. There were 42. I'm only going to use 20 of them. Okay, so stay with me and I'll see how fast I can talk in places. Here was the first one. Thank the Lord that he has created you and given you life and breath. We take all of that for granted, don't we?
Yep.
Secondly, thank the Lord for the person who first told you about Jesus and salvation. When I was writing that out, it took me back as a child to that church I grew up in. And there was a preacher, a hellfire and brimstone preacher by the name of J. Frank Lawrence. And he preached the word of God in such a powerful way that even as a child, it was mesmerizing to me. And I am so thankful that when I was 10 years old, sitting under his ministry, God opened my heart and I said yes to Christ. My family went to church all the time. But I don't ever remember us as a family reading the Bible or even praying. And so the story of Jesus wasn't something that was talked about or shared in my home. It was because I went to church and there was a preacher who had the word of God and he faithfully preached it that I became a Christian. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you're going to have saving faith, you're going to have to hear God's word. If you're going to grow in your faith, you're going to have to be in his word. All of those things, so true. And I'll try to keep on going. I've got at least 18 more to go. Here's the next one. Say thank you, God, for sending his son to lay down his life for you and die in your place. Just a few lyrics out of a song. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. None of it would be possible had Jesus not died for us. Here's the next one. Praise the Lord that when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive together with Christ. So much there. Here's another one. Thank the Lord that even though you were once his enemy, now you are his child. The Bible says that it's our sin that separates us from him. The Bible says because of how we think, what we say, and how we live, that until Christ comes into our lives, we are enemies against God. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sin. Have we forgotten what it was to be made alive in Christ? Something to be thankful about. Praise God that he is constantly making you more and more like Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Rejoice that the Lord has promised to guide you and lead you in paths of righteousness. That sounds kind of, too religious to some folks? Well, let me introduce another passage of scripture. It comes out of the book of Proverbs. Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the sinful is hard. So yes, we can live our life on our terms, say and do what we want, but the Bible will not be contradicted if it's contrary to the Word of God. Sooner or later, as I heard it said when I was growing up, the chickens are going to come home to roost. We reap what we sow, regardless of how much fun, whatever else that's making it in our interest and what we think is worthwhile, if it's sinful, sooner or later it catches up with you. And the Bible cautions us that if we do not repent, we will die without Christ. And that just simply means hell awaits you. Rejoice that the Lord has promised to guide you in paths of righteousness. I want to say this morning, I am so grateful for every time God got a hold of my heart. He kept working on me until finally there was a course correction in my life. And how many of you have had more than one divine course correction in your life? Okay, just checking. And how many of you know that before you get home, not right now, we're all going to need a lot more of those divine corrections. What about this one? Give thanks to God for all the times He has met you in the midst of challenging and difficult circumstances. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? If you ate too much that day, would you just raise your hand and say, "Forgive me, Lord, for I have sinned"? And you say, "Well, why would I need to see that? Say that?" Well, you know, okay, we'll leave out gluttony this morning. Okay? Great Thanksgiving. Got home later that afternoon, settled in, started making a few phone calls, sending out a few texts to some family members I hadn't touched base with yet, a few friends. Sent a text to a friend that I've known for over 40 years. And just said, "I hope you had a lot to eat today. Good Thanksgiving," those kind of things. The response back I got was, "Can you talk?" And I went, "Whoa." Karen and I were both downstairs, and I just looked at her and I said, "Hey, that's John. And I'm going to go upstairs and make a telephone call." And I did. We were only a few seconds into that call, and he said, "I'll just get right to it. I'm having open heart surgery this week." I did not know what to say. He did not know what to say. And it's been a long time since there was just this silence in a conversation I was with on the phone with anybody. Either they were talking or I was talking. And it just stayed there, just that silence. And then he said something like, "Hey man, I hate to be a doubter." I said, "I'm sorry to just lay it on you like that." And I said, "No, that's okay. Tell me about it." So he started talking to me and telling me about how sick he had been, off and on, kind of up and down like this a little bit, but it kept kind of just working its way down. And he had went into the hospital on Monday. They had to bring in a specialist, infectious diseases, that actually kind of figured out what was going on. An infection in his blood, and it had localized in his heart, and it damaged his heart valve. And this is Thursday evening, and we're just sort of trying to walk through all of this. I said, "What's next?" He said, "Well, sometime tomorrow, they're going to do a heart catheterization to see how my arteries are. If they're blocked, once they open me up to replace the valve, they're going to go ahead and do the bypasses." And I was like, "Well, okay." Interestingly enough, after we got through all the specifics, this man started talking about his faith in God. And for a good part of that conversation, we just rejoiced that God meets us in our times of challenging and difficult circumstances. As we were talking, not so much when we were going through all the heavy stuff, but once we got into talking about God, His love, His mercy, His sovereignty, His power, all of those things. This doesn't always happen. But I begin to get a sense in my heart and in my spirit, He's going to be okay. And by the time we got to the end of that conversation, I'm saying, hey man, I need to pray with you tonight. And he said, please do. And I said, but I want to go ahead and tell you this. While we've been talking and we were discussing our faith and our relationship with God, God gave me a sense of knowing. And it doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened in this. When I pray, I am going to thank God for what this outcome is going to be in your surgery. And he said, please do. And we prayed. The next morning, I checked in with his wife. This is what she texts back to me. Waiting on them to come and get him for a heart catheterization. God is faithful. Our peace is in him. This is bad, but we've been through worse. And I knew exactly what he had talked about. Three children. His middle daughter went with a family on a weekend trip to do babysitting. I don't think she was maybe more than maybe 14 at the time or something. On their way back home on a Sunday night, a man leaving work had been drinking on the job, ran through a stop sign, crashed the car that they were in. The infant was killed. Shauna was killed. The husband maimed considerably. The wife was the only one that walked away from that accident. And it was a long period of time before that husband ever got out of the hospital. And Shauna never came home. Thank God for the way He meets you in these circumstances of life. The report came back in. Arteries all fine. That was, in some ways, a shock and a praise to me, because we had not discussed this on Thursday night. I didn't want to bring it up. John and I went to Bible college together. We were roommates. And his father died of a heart attack. He was in his 50s at the time. So I knew the family's history, all these things. I was so relieved. And it just reaffirmed what I felt was God's message He gave me that Thursday night. Saturday morning, texting back and forth with Tammy. They took him back around 7:15 or 7:30. And this is what she wrote. God has this. With 3 exclamation points. One way or the other. She writes a little later. Putting in the new valve now. Everything is going as planned. She writes a little later, all done. Everything went well as expected. No complications. Thank you for your prayers. And then she signed off with this. I told you God had this. We don't know what's coming. I want to ask you, do you have that personal relationship with God where you can claim a verse like the one in Psalms that we preached about earlier this year? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Okay, what about this one? Give thanks to the Lord that He is a faithful God who always keeps His promises to you. Give thanks to God for all the times He has protected you from harm. I was looking over my notes this morning. Took me back to a high school story in my own life. In the band, we'd done the halftime show. Had walked under the bleachers. The band was kind of dismissed for a little while before we had to reassemble in the stands. I'm walking back into the stands. Don't know what I did or how I did it, but somehow stirred up a wasp nest or something, and I got stung on my ankle. And it just kept hurting and bothering me more and more. I finally got back up in the stands when we reassembled. It wouldn't stop, and I wasn't feeling right and I wasn't feeling good. And so finally, I just went on down to the band director. They redirected me to actually the middle part of that set of stands where people were sitting. Somebody walked me over to a doctor that was there. And I sat down, told him what had happened. He pulled an injection out of his bag, gave me a shot, and said, "You'll be all right. This will take care of it." And he said, "You can go ahead and go." I stood up to come back down those steps and took about two or three steps, and I just totally passed out. Totally. Must have fallen, never how far down. The next time I had a moment of consciousness, I was in an ambulance on the track that circled the football field. And I remember just coming awake for a moment and kind of looking out and realizing where I was. I'm in an ambulance and they're driving me out of the stadium. But then I couldn't stay awake and I went unconscious again. It was like 2 or 3 hours later before I regained consciousness. And I was in a hospital under oxygen. And as I'm now able to hear and talk and be in the conversation that was going on in the room, I had had this allergic reaction. If I had not got that shot, I would have died. Most interestingly about this story, the doctor who gave me that injection, he said he was grabbing his medical bag when he was getting ready to leave for the day, noticed a shot that was laid out and was going to put it back up, and decided just to go ahead and throw it in his bag, and that was the only reason it was in there. And he told me as we talked, had that shot been at his office and not on that field, I would have died that night. Give thanks to God for all the times he has protected you from harm. Give thanks that someday you will see the Lord face to face. Give thanks that you have eternal life and will dwell forever in the presence of the Lord. Forever. Thank the Lord that he is making a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more sin, sickness, or sadness. Reading from the book of Revelation. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is an incredible future for everyone who is a child of God. Anybody here this morning blessed and thankful? Can you just wave a hand a little bit? Blessed and thankful. Can you tell that person next to you, "I am blessed and thankful"? Can you tell them? We come to church and wow, it looks like Christmas already. Thanksgiving was only a few days ago. Sometimes we forget our blessings. Sometimes instead of being blessed and thankful, we become bewildered and ungrateful. Happens to all of us. Life happens. We get dumbfounded, flabbergasted, baffled, and perplexed. Anybody been there? Been there, done that? Life gets a hold of us. Circumstances happen, and this is how it usually plays out. We lose our joy and we lose our gratitude. For some people, it only takes a few bad things, and all of a sudden their lives are just spiraling downward. And joy and gratitude are things that seldom emerge again. For others, they shake off so many different things. They fight their way through so many hard circumstances. And maybe it's just that proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. One more thing crashes in, and their world begins to fall, literally all apart. Listen to me, please. This idea of bewilderment and being ungrateful, I think we all understand and know that it's real. But I do want to caution you, because when those things begin to take over our hearts and our minds, they literally fill our lives up with darkness, meanness, selfishness, and loneliness. All that begins to just take root, and it spreads. We will grumble and complain more. We will moan and groan more. We will worry and doubt more. And I want to tell you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, God has not called us to that. And I don't know what you turn to when you need something desperately in those moments, but I just want you to walk with me through a few thoughts and ideas. Zig Ziglar: you'll never see a happy, ungrateful person. Gratitude is what keeps our boat afloat. Paul told the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Geraldine: ungratefulness is worse than a cancer. It eats away at your soul, blinding your heart and eyes to the beauty and miracles that are all around us each day in our lives. There are so many times in the Bible the Bible says, be on your guard. Guard your heart. And sometimes we feel so inadequate, and understandably so, with everything that can be going on in our lives. But that's where God can step in. That's where Scripture can fortify our thinking, and it can hold our feelings in check. And we don't have to let circumstances destroy us. Researchers They tell us that it's easier to teach a child to say hi and goodbye than it is to teach them to say thank you. In fact, it takes a lot of time and effort usually. And it still doesn't happen quickly, because if you are a good instructor, they will begin to mimic what you're saying, and they'll begin to associate the appropriate times in which you need to say thank you. But realistically, until they mature, they still don't connect their words to that feeling. Compare it to this. How many of us had a parent that said, you need to say you're sorry? And somehow those words did get out of your mouth, but the feeling was nowhere close to it. And that's what they're suggesting in this process of saying thank you. And it's like, what does it take for a person to be able to get the words and the feeling together in the same place? It takes maturity. It takes maturity. And could I just, like Eric likes to tell me, yeah, I like to poke the bear sometimes. Can I poke the bear for a moment?
Sure.
Sometimes We can be in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You can just keep on counting. And thank you still doesn't come very easily to us. And it does seem like sometimes people literally never learn to be thankful. It was a few years back, a man who lives in South Africa. He went back home one afternoon, a little sooner maybe than was expected. And he walks in and there's nine men who are robbing his house. They're startled. He's upset and angry, somewhat aggressive. Everybody starts running in opposite directions. Eight of those men get away. There was one of those would-be robbers he managed to push into his pool in his backyard. So that homeowner's just standing there. Everybody else has fled. There's this guy in the water. He's standing here. Then he begins to realize that man that he pushed in the water doesn't know how to swim. And maybe he thought, well, I wonder if I get him out or not. So he jumps in, gets the robber out, and once the robber is out and kind of, you know, you would think, comes to himself, he starts yelling and screaming for his friends to come back. He pulls out a knife and threatens the guy, so the homeowner just pushed him back in. Did that guy not realize the homeowner just saved his life? And now the homeowner is, well, do I save him again or not? And he jumped back in the water and pulled him out a second time. And when the story showed up in the newspaper, he did go as far as saying, I could not believe that guy pulled a knife on me and started it all up again. So blessed and thankful. Let's wrap it up. Anybody recognize Oprah? I love her quote. Be thankful for what you have, you'll end up having more. If you concentrate on what you don't have, you will never, ever have enough. There's truth in that. There is truth in that. Melody. She's made a name for herself writing self-help books for codependent relationships. I love what she says about this. Gratitude turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos into order, confusion into clarity. It makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. And if you're having any struggle today with gratitude, let's let Willie Nelson talk to us. Okay? When I started counting my blessings, my whole life turned around. I just got to ask you this morning, are you blessed and thankful? Two other quotes. Priscilla, when we choose thankful prayer over wallowing in anxiety and worry, we are demonstrating an unwavering trust in God. That's what John and Tammy lived out this week. And I hope God can build all of us up in our faith so that when our time comes and we're having to live this out too, we have more to hang on to than what we would have had otherwise. Lisa has said, if there was ever a secret for unleashing God's powerful peace in a situation, it's developing a heart of true thanksgiving.